Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We are here with Lewis from Tony's Ice Cream in Gastonic, North Carolina. Tony's Ice Cream has been serving its local community for, since 1915. Is that correct?
Yes.
My gosh. I think a good way to start, tell us a little bit about how your ice cream shop got started. I'm sure it was, you said it was your father who started the business?
No, my grandfather. He was an immigrant from Italy. He came to this country with the expertise to make ice cream and sherbet. He struggled. He was a hardworking man. He had a lot of determination. He used to make ice cream and put it on a push cart and take it downtown and sell it to make enough money to be able to buy the cream to make another can of ice cream. And from those meager beginnings, he just kept on working. Eventually, after a number of years, he was able to have a horse and wagon, and he served the mill communities, which Gastonia has a big mill history. At one time, they had more spindles in operation in Gastonia than any place in the world.
Wow.
And from those beginnings, he used to go house to house. People would bring out bowls and one thing or another. Didn't have much refrigeration. He packed ice cream and ice and rock salt and carried it door to door. Everybody always said the horse knew the route better than Grandpa did. The horse would go on to the next stop if he stayed too long talking to somebody.
No kidding.
But from those days, of course, he had my father with him, and he moved on, and my father was the one that started using ice cream trucks. My grandfather on my mother's side, he actually made the trucks, and we still have the trucks and the wagon. The trucks, of course, would go to events, so any kind of gathering from church camp meetings to county fairs, ball games. Ball games were my favorite because my dad always traded a cone of ice cream for a foul ball.
You must have had a lot of them then, huh?
I did. My mom looked after the store while all this was going on, and it was a little bit tough when I was going to school because everybody else is at the ball game and I was dipping ice cream. I started with my dad when I was 4 years old. I was looking after the store at our house by myself when I was 11 years old. So I think some of those things there taught me a whole lot about management.
You've been doing it all your life.
That's all I know.
Wow. That's a big component, too. We'll get to that as your story advances, your management skills. I think you attribute your people skills and working with people, large part of how, what's kept you guys successful since the reins got handed over to you. But I don't want to interrupt, so go ahead with your story.
Well, things are constantly changing. We went from that to a little bit more of a presence. My dad, my Uncle Tony, he was Tony Janetta, and we're Tony Coletta. He married my dad's sister, and they, of course, they were in the ice cream business also. Between the two companies, they covered Gaston County. And to this day, that's all our goal is to cover Gaston County. We can't fight huge companies like Bluebell and Blue Bunny and people like that, but we're going to maintain our presence in Gaston County. And my dad, of course, he wanted to he wanted to spread out, and he came down. After my grandfather passed away, my Uncle Tony built a new store, you know, our home store here, and my dad came to manage it. And from that time, you know, Tony's Ice Cream got to be better known. There were a number of small places here in town, but they kind of fell by the wayside, and Tony's Ice Cream pretty much, you know, was the ice cream place for Gastonia. And my dad did that. You know, he was doing great, and all of a sudden, when he was 62 years old, he developed Hodgkin's disease. And, of course, that at the time, there wasn't any cure for that, so it was a pretty much a dead end. And
sorry to hear that.
I had been in service and had gotten back out and worked for Burlington Industries, for ClearKnit Corporation, you know, sewing. I was trained at Burlington as an industrial engineer, which I believe to this day has helped me, you know, helped us be able to stay ahead, just a little bit ahead. We don't sit around and wait on equipment to wear out. We're constantly looking, you know, to improve our equipment and improve our product. But here we are now. 2012, we're selling ice cream wholesale for the purpose of trying to keep our place in the county.
Okay.
If we didn't sell ice cream wholesale, the big companies would have pushed us right aside. So we're still trying to maintain that 50-mile radius from Gastonia. And so far we've been moderately successful doing that.
I think you're being modest, especially to have an ice cream shop that's lasted since 1915 to be able to, you know, be such a fixture in the community. And it sounds to me like you guys have really got it together. And what I'm impressed with is the heritage, how long your business has been open, and yet, like you said, you've progressed in updating equipment. What types of investments do you think really paid off on the equipment side? When you would upgrade, would it be for just improved productivity, improved product? What was some of the rationale there?
Well, it was all of that at one time. We actually had an opportunity to buy. I'm in the building. I'm in the plant next door to the retail store. We had an opportunity to buy this building. It already had refrigeration and one thing and another, and we decided we were going to upgrade equipment. And I went up to Pennsylvania and bought like a machine with three times the capacity of the machine that we were running, with also three times or four times the amount of freezer space. In the ice cream business, it does not matter how much ice cream you can make. It's how much ice cream you can freeze. If you don't have freezer space, you might as well not make it. And from that point on, we upgraded, you know, all of our equipment. We started doing a lot more with fruit feeders, you know, making just a little bit more complicated flavors, you know, putting ripple in things and
okay,
putting, you know, different ingredients, mixing things, and of course that's what the public's looking for. You know, everybody's looking for something just a little bit different. And
of course,
we do ice cream different, I'm gonna say different from just about anybody I've ever seen, because we have a dedication to the quality of the ice cream. That's the only thing I think that's kept us in our place here in Gaston County, because now, you know, in 2012, we're surrounded by giants. We're surrounded by Blue Bunny, by Bluebell, by Pet. They're all building distribution centers, you know, within 30, 40 miles of here. And all of a sudden, everybody wants to be in the South. Everybody's looking at the Southeast as a plum. And course, that's added pressure for us. But, you know, it's not something we can't handle, I'd say, for the next 10 years.
How does pressure get applied? I mean, you had talked about expanding into the retail business as a way to kind of, you know, establish your threshold. I mean, that is, I know,
well,
it's more profitable, maybe more profitable, helps give you the ammunition. How does that, when you're competing against these guys, and you have such a high quality product, will they ever try to compete on what you're doing, or will they just be a different product?
I think it'll be a different product, because they won't step up and use the quality of ingredients I think that we use. All our ingredients are prepared for ice cream only. They're pasteurized and sealed in foil bags, and you know, that's the best. That's the best quality you can buy. And that, I think, is what sets us aside. We can't make just ice cream to sell. We have to make ice cream parlor ice cream. In other words, when somebody comes here, they're looking for something special.
Right.
And we have to offer that, no matter what it costs or how we have to do. You know, being small, we don't have quite the overhead that they do. And being close, we make the ice cream here, and we take it 40 steps next door to the retail store. Either that, or we put it on a truck and sell it, you know, wholesale.
Okay. So for our listeners, just so you know, we've got the two. Your location is set up right next to where you are.
Absolutely.
Making the ice cream. You've got both buildings, and you said something interesting as well. It's not what you can make, it's what you can
freeze. Right. We have
a little bit about that.
Well, we know the ice cream business. We've been doing it our whole life. Every little store that my mom and dad, my aunt and uncle had a freezer, and it was always too small. So when we had a chance to do this building, I got a plan from the health inspector, and going along with that plan, we just dug all the floors out, did the drains and everything like the state, you know, would like to have them. And that way we didn't have to worry about, you know, about whether we were doing the right thing, but we made big freezers. And our freezer capacity is much greater than what we need right now. We had an opportunity at one point to do ice cream for Sam's Club. And it was very, very interesting dealing with Sam's Club. I don't know if any of your other folks have ever had that chance, but they gave us a package, they called it. And we had our lawyer, who is a personal friend, we had our lawyer to read that package. And he called me, he told me, he said, I want you to put all this back in this envelope, and he said, I want you to mail it back to him, because there's nothing in that package for Tony's ice cream.
Wow.
Walmart has a history of doing business with a company, say, our size. Then the next thing you know, they're doing more and more business with you. And then all of a sudden, you're all in with Walmart or Sam's Club, and then instead of you telling them what the price is, they tell you what they'll pay for it.
Right.
And that's the way this thing was structured. We've been lucky that we've been able, you know, all of our equipment and everything we've paid for. We just work hard. The thing that bothers me the most is the pressure from these big monster companies, is the fact that they're buying up all the ingredients. And for us to get ingredients now, a company our size, and I'm going to use Cherry Cheesecake because we just bought Cherry Cheesecake, we have to buy 55-gallon buckets of Cherry Cheesecake to even get one. The least amount they'll make is 50.
That's the minimum order.
Right.
So you've got very high minimums.
Absolutely. Because of the fact that these huge companies are buying it up, and of course they're using it. I'm not saying that, but the manufacturing companies are all set up for these big companies. And then when somebody our size calls up and says we want 10 buckets, you can forget that. You either buy 50 or you don't get it. And, you know, the economy being like it is, I know it hurt them too, but I think it's a little more noticeable in companies our size, and I think that's why you're seeing a dwindling number of small ice cream companies. The pressure, it's not just somebody slapping you in the face, it's somebody just pushing all the time. And our way to combat that is we have lots of friends, you know, in these companies from years before.
Yeah.
We belong to Allied Purchasing Group, who they'll take orders from, you know, all over the United States, and they'll, you know, dole it out the way you order it. They've been a big, big help to us. There's Dixie Buying Group and one thing to another, you know, close to us. And it's just a little more challenging, but it's not something that we can't handle.
So what you're saying is there are buying groups that help collectively pool smaller
Absolutely.
Ice cream shops and give smaller restaurants and different players out there a little bit more power when dealing with large food companies.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's our saving grace right there. That's what we have to pay attention to. It causes more management on our end. When things get tough, like they've been tough for a couple of years now, that's when you find out who's minding the store. Because
Sure.
a lot of people just throw their hands up and say, I can't do this. People like us who've been in the business for 98 years now, we're not going to give up. We're going to find a way to do it. And we're finding a way to do it in a lot of different ways. We've affiliated ourselves with Pepsi Cola, just PepsiCo, we'll say.
Okay.
They furnish us with our milkshake cups. We are one of those people that make lots of milkshakes. On weekend days, in the summertime, we'll make 1,000 milkshakes a day.
1,000?
Yes. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
People have been coming here for years for an ice cream milkshake. We just use whole milk and ice cream. We put it on a machine and put a dollop of ice cream on top of it and serve milkshakes. Pepsi Cola wanted our restaurant business. We're all in for Pepsi. And in return, they take a dollar amount off of our cups, and they furnish us with our cups. And, of course, they got our logo on them, and they also have Pepsi's logo on them. And
Okay.
We're in the process of doing the same thing with one of our local companies, the Sundrop. They just recently went nationwide. Sundrop is a really, really high-quality company, and they're here in Gastonia, and we do a lot of donations and one thing and another with Sundrop. They're right down the street from us. And they're doing the same with a small milkshake cup. We had to do a small milkshake because everybody in the world is doing a milkshake. Every fast food company anywhere around in the Southeast, they've decided they need a milkshake.
Right.
And this just happened in probably the last 5 years. Everybody is trying to get to the Southeast because we have the best weather, we have the best labor, You know, they don't have to worry with labor. Just all of a sudden, the Fortune 500 companies are coming to Charlotte, which is like 20 miles from us here in Gaston.
Oh, sure. It's exploded.
Yeah.
Well, I think the population, too, not wanting the real cold winters and maybe not being interested in the real hot summers of Florida, it creates a nice blend. Very, I've been there a few times, and I love it. I love
people
that.
Here work all year round. We don't have any lost time to weather. And people in up north and in the Midwest, you know, with all the storms, you know, the cold weather and the bad weather and this and that and the other, we're just blessed, you know. I tell everybody this is God's country, you know, and we're lucky to be located where we are. We're protected by the mountains, you know, the Smokies and the Blue Ridge Mountains. We just don't get bad weather.
Well, it's just absolutely beautiful up there as well. Just gorgeous. So I could see why it would draw. And I think a big part of the draw for a lot of the small towns is the local businesses.
It is.
What draws a lot of people. And because they want that. They see that. So I think that's going to, you know, continue to play in your favor, where you're a business that's got some heritage and history and is creating something really unique and authentic. And it sounds like, you know, certainly it's been helping to support you as people know that. Do you promote yourself, you know, to tourists, to tourism? Is it something that just the locals know about?
Well, it's, you know what, we've been kind of backward about promoting ourselves. My daughter, who was a banker, my brother passed away like 4 years ago. My daughter and my son took his part of the business, so it's just me and my son and my daughter, which it's always just been family. But
okay,
of course, we're Italian people, and family is everything to us. Melinda came with a little bit more spark, and she's wanting to promote. So we have been in, like, Charlotte Magazine. We've been in Southern Living.
Good.
You know, things like that. And it's amazing. People come in and they say, we saw this in Southern Living, or we saw this in the Charlotte Magazine. It's amazing what just a little bit of promotion can do for business. And it kind of taught us a lesson, but we're still just local folks. We do a lot of benefits and things for local churches. My deal is kids. I'm all in for kids. Any kid, any Bible school, any church school, any kind of summer camp or whatever, we'll provide the ice cream for them, because the world we're living in, the shape we've let it get in, and I say we because I'm part of it too. If anything, anybody deserves, you know, something to make them smile, I think we better take care of these kids, because that's the only hope we got.
Absolutely.
Of a generation coming.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you there. Well, I would think that that's got to be something big, especially when kids know the ice cream and they want their parents to come and take them there as well. And when the community knows you support the kids, that means a lot as far as everybody's concerned. I would
if
think
you don't have the goodwill of your customer base, you don't have anything. That's the basis for business, is having goodwill. That's what we've always worked for. We've tried to be a, you know, a good neighbor and a good citizen in the community. And we're old. Most of the people that were in business with us are gone. But it really pleases me to have a friendly place. In the mornings when we open up, you know, we got the old guys like me. They come in and just fill the whole store. Of course, the Democrats are on one side of the building and the Republicans are on the other. And there's quite a few shout matches across
the floor. You don't have a line on the floor, do you?
No, but it's well drawn, believe me. But you know, that's rural life. I mean that's life the way we grew up in, and people still like to come to a place where they feel comfortable and they feel, and all their friends, all their, you know, family and everybody else. I mean, that's the way we've promoted our business over the years.
Absolutely.
When the church group comes in, you know, my dad used to always have the pastor a half gallon of ice cream in the box, and all he had to do was walk by and pick it up. You know, that's the way you promote your business also. You know,
absolutely.
That's the down-home way of doing it.
Absolutely. You touched on something a little bit earlier about kids, and I want to go back to that because during our pre-interview call, you'd mentioned seeing a change that I was a little bit surprised in your workforce and the kids and the dedication you're seeing come.
I have.
Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, right now, I have to honestly say that we probably have the best group of kids for this summer that we've ever had. I have been an observer my whole life. I'm impressed with the determination that girls have. I know there's great guys out there, but I'm telling you, they keep saying we'll never have a woman for president. They but you know, the guys better look out, because these girls are really determined. They do great, just great in school. We got two girls over there that have been straight 4.0s their whole life. They've made straight A's, and they're in college, and they make 4.0s and everything. Boys are just more prone, you know, to be rowdier, and not just one way, but in different ways.
Sure.
They just don't settle down as quick as girls do. The girls end up, you know, running the place. We've got four young girls over there. One of them is going to be in her second year in college, and the other three just graduated. And I'm telling you, those girls do a great job. Our deal is longevity. I've got a team leader over there that's been here probably 12 years, and Lito's, he's the man, you know. He takes care of the store. And instead of having managers, we have team leaders, and those team leaders are people that have been with us that know how we do business. We don't even dip ice cream like other people do. We use spade dippers.
Okay.
Everybody else uses a little roll dipper, and
yep.
It takes a little bit longer to teach people, but when people come in here and they see, you know, we give them two big dips of ice cream on a cone, and Lord knows, if you know what you're doing, you can make it look so good. Everybody, you know, it's a surprise to people, and especially people, you know, that are not familiar with us. But
a spade dipper is a flatter,
right?
And so I'm assuming then, when it scrapes through the ice cream, it gives you a flatter layer. Does it help with the flavor, or
it's eye appeal?
It's eye appeal. Okay.
Ice cream is right between your eyes. If it looks good, it is good. If you take the best ice cream in the world and you don't prepare it, make it look good, people are disappointed.
Sure.
If they're pleased with the amount of, or the serving that you that you provide for them, they're happy with it. And that's what we've gone on all these years. It's just like taking your four fingers and putting them together. That's what a spade dipper is. And, of course, we do milkshakes, which makes it a lot easier to get more ice cream out at one time.
Okay.
And I'm really encouraged by what I see. As opposed to 10 years ago, we'd have kids come in here to work. Everybody's on drugs. We'd have to send them home. Then their parents come back and say, "What are you accusing my son of?" And we've had kids to fall in the floor. They couldn't even stand up. And,
no kidding.
I mean, it's kind of crazy, you know, what things have come to. I just think it's interesting.
I'll tell you, because when you started to tell me that you've seen a big change in kids, I expected you to tell me the opposite. You know, everybody is familiar with the saying "kids these days," and it sounds like what you're telling me is gone through a little bit of a dip, and actually, you're now seeing them improving.
Oh, I am. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged that we got something to look forward to. You know, they've banned smoking in all the restaurants, or they have here.
Yes.
We were the first one in the community to do that. Everybody told us, said, "You can't do that. You know, nobody will come see you." See, I'm all in for kids and older people. That's our customer base. And kids shouldn't have to breathe secondhand smoke. They shouldn't have to, be subjected to that. And the same thing with old people. Old people have breathing problems. They come in here pulling an oxygen bottle.
Sure.
They shouldn't have to breathe, you know, secondhand smoke. So we did that, and lo and behold, we got more people. More old people, more kids, and found out the reason they weren't bringing kids was because they had to, you know, be subjected to smoke. And this is tobacco country. Tobacco's number one around here for 100 years.
Well, sure.
And,
for you to make that decision.
Now Philip Morris has moved completely out of Concord, North Carolina. They're going to Europe. So, you know, you just kind of look for these bright lights, you know, when you get a chance to see them. And I am. I'm very encouraged with the kids nowadays.
Well, that's great to hear. And you also touched on something else. I think I'd love it if you could share your secret with longevity, getting people to stay and getting people to be happy in the workplace. That could probably be a call in and of itself, but do you have any suggestions or pieces of advice?
Well, when I came here, when my dad was sick, I had people. As a matter of fact, I have a lady that works for me right now that worked for my dad in the 50s. And What our deal is, we try to give people the benefit of the doubt. If somebody calls me up and I know they're a good employee, and they say, you know, it may be July the 4th, and they say, "You know what, my grandmother's sick," or something like that, I don't go for that. What I want is I want the kind of relationship with our employees that they know. If they call us up and they say, "Look, I got to go to a family reunion," or "I want to be with my family, is there any way you can work that out for me?" We'll do it if we can. If we can't, you know, that's another thing.
Sure.
You got to have that straight up relationship with your people. You got to manage like you would want to be treated. You got to be
encourage.
Honest with people if you expect them to be honest with you.
Encourage and, the honesty.
Right. I've got kids here right now that I hired when they were 16 years old. They just brought me a mix sample. The boy that brought it to me has been here 31 years. I hired him the day he quit school. I told him I'd give him a job if he'd go back to high school. And he's been here ever since. You know,
he brought you a what sample?
Mix, ice cream mix.
Okay.
I sample all the mix before we use it.
I see.
That's been a habit of mine for all my years. My dad used to do the same thing.
But he's been with you since then. You gave him a shot, having dropped out of high school, encouraged him to get back in, and he's been with you since.
Oh, I told him, I said, if you don't go to school, you can't have a job. And I've got people here that have been here over 30 years. I've got like five of them left.
Wow, that's amazing.
You got to be there for people if you expect them to be there for you. That's always been my way of handling. I think I learned a lot of lessons. I worked in an ice cream store when I was too young to be there. I had people try to take advantage of me in one thing and another, and I learned how to handle things like that. But what I learned along the way with all the training I had at Burlington Industries and everywhere else is if you got to be honest with people if you want them to be honest with you. And we don't keep secrets from each other. If we got anything to say, they know they're very welcome, you know, to complain or whatever, and I'll listen to them. I'm not saying I'm always going to do what they want done, but, you know, we'll talk it over. And
okay.
That's pretty much been my philosophy the whole time.
It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. I'm sure it's not always easy or convenient, but
no.
People respect that.
I've spent a lot of time on the ice cream counter when I let somebody go home, and I never regretted that one bit, but, you know, there's got to be moderation in everything. You can't be, what worries me or bothers me the whole time that I've even been in management is to see people use management as a hammer or a stick to beat people over the head with. Management's supposed to be something that you help people. If you don't have that kind of attitude, if you have the attitude you're going to tell everybody what to do, you're going to be in trouble. If you're going to watch what's going on and see if by having the authority that you have, you're able to help people, then you're going to be a good manager.
So creating a shop environment that really supports the people, gives them
right.
what they need, an open, honest environment as well, which is a two-way street, as you've mentioned, and I think people are going to behave differently for you when they feel your heart's in the right place and that you care about them.
I tell you one other thing we touched on the other day is this deal with insurance.
Yes.
We do 95% of all our people's health insurance. We used to do 100%. The insurance, if there's one crisis, I think, that is just like smothering business, small business, it's health insurance. It's bound by law. We're bound by law. If anybody works 30 hours or more, we have to offer health insurance. And I think there's actually a minimum of how many people you have to have on the health insurance rolls. But health insurance now has got to bear, it's just getting to the point where it's driving business. It's driving business to change the way they do everything.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to run their business now with part-time people.
Right. to keep the expenses down.
Right.
And to
if
not
you don't
only
offer them 30
labor,
hours, they don't
sure.
have to have insurance.
Now, management's becoming more because you're juggling more employees to do what you typically in the past would have had fewer.
For example, McDonald's down the street, which is not nearly as big a building as ours next door, they have 54 people per shift. That's how many people they have on their first shift roll. Most of those people are somebody they can call if somebody doesn't come in.
Sure.
Look at the management it takes to do all that. You're just loading the manager, you know. He doesn't get but 40 hours either. He doesn't get any overtime. He does get his insurance.
Right.
But it's just crazy how insurance is, you know, they're in everybody's, all the business. They're just driving business. You know, they're making you do things that you wouldn't normally do. They're causing me to change my philosophy because all my part-time people, I have to offer them insurance, and we're paying something like $12,000-$13,000 a month for health insurance.
No kidding.
For my old guys. My old guys are the ones that keep me here. They're the ones that help keep this business together. And now they're costing me money.
I hope that changes. You know, I've learned a little bit. It doesn't make a lot of sense. We don't pay people's car insurance. But then again, for people to try and get insurance individually, it's astronomical.
Oh,
you want to be part of a pool, but the only pool in the world is not necessarily your employer. And people people will stay in jobs where they're unhappy simply because they have health insurance, and it's just astronomical to try and provide it on your own. And I think that you're right. It's really crippled small business.
Absolutely.
And causes them to look for a contract or part-time help and keep them under the minimum or hours.
Right.
So that they don't have to. And that's not helping anybody.
No,
so,
it's absolutely not.
We could probably get into deeper into that. It's such a messed up issue, all that I've heard. But it is something that I think people need to consider. You guys are hanging in there. We did an interview with Molly Moons, and I would say more than hanging in there. You guys are really doing a great job. Molly Moons Ice Cream, as well, out in Seattle, provides health insurance, and that's a big deal. It's a big deal to do it and to make the commitment because of the expense involved. And I think that her take when we had spoken about it was that people will reward that. People see that you're treating your people right.
Right.
And they appreciate that. It's not there's some shift right now where people are becoming a little more conscious about where the ingredients come from in their food, how the workers are treated at the establishments that they frequent. And but I hope that something happens to make that a little bit easier, lessen the challenge it poses to small businesses that are, you know, working hard every day to pay the bills, to alleviate some of that expense.
It's got to happen. Something's got to happen, you know, for small business to recover like I think it should.
Well, Lewis, this has been a fantastic interview. You've certainly given me more time than I was expecting, but we've covered a lot of really, really great stuff here. Before I wrap, is there any parting pieces of advice you might give to somebody who's set on getting into the ice cream business? They really want to do this. They want to get started the right way. What would you tell them?
Well, I think you just like us, I think you need to do some research. You need to look at your options, where you're thinking about being. course, location's a lot to do with it. But people come in our store all the time and tell us that you've got it made. We've got it made. I don't have any qualms with that. But you have to realize how what a commitment it is, and it's not one of those things where you can walk out whenever you want to. People have been telling me for years I ought to go on a cruise, and I can't do that because I've made that commitment to my business. I'm not going to turn my back on my business just to go on a cruise.
Sure.
And that's the way my dad was. That's the way my granddad was. We've always been the ones to mind the store. A lot of the people that told me I ought to just, leave it with somebody and go on somewhere else, they're not in business anymore.
Sure.
You just have
so
to
make the
decide
commitment.
What commitment you're willing to make. Because meeting that many people a day, it is a real challenge. And you meet them face to face, what you put out there, you're responsible for. It's a challenge.
So be ready and do your research.
Right.
Know your location. Spend critical.
Right.
Spend time on researching your location. Because
absolutely.
It can, I don't know if I could say it can make you, because there's still a lot of hard work.
Oh, yeah.
Despite having a great location, but it certainly can break you if it's not right. So, I really do appreciate your time today. I'm going to see if we can get some pictures from you. Maybe one of your, you can email us some pictures we can put up on the summary and show us your ice cream, maybe a couple pictures of your shop. We'll link back to your site. Hopefully, if people are driving through, and it's Gastonia. I think I said Gastonic at the
Gastonia.
Part of this interview. Gastonia, North Carolina. Make sure and check out Tony's Ice Cream. And it sounds like a fantastic place. I hope to make it by there sometime.
Do that. We'd be glad to have you.
Thank you, Lewis. Thank you for your time, and have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Bonnie.